The messages I'm about to show you guys are the messages that I sent to Sajid.
We want to establish an amazing masjid for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the country of Norway. Click on the link and donate now for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers and sisters and dear friends. I want to get straight into the video inshallah. This is the Quran, this is the Kitab of Allah, as you guys can see. I swear upon the Lord of the Kaaba, I swear upon the one who has sent this, this Kitab. If anything that I'm going to say here is a lie, a manipulation, a diversion tactic, yeah? That's the oath that I've taken. I won't take an oath or risk my hereafter just to win a point over someone else. That's childish and it's pathetic. I'm genuinely doing this video just so you guys can understand the full story and the timeline of what happened. Because like Ali radiallahu anhu said, like he said, he heard from the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that the Messenger of Allah said to him, Ali, that when you have two people disputing that come to you, do not make judgment until you listen the other side. This is a key factor. Many times we have people coming to us, sometimes crying. Sometimes it might be a sister or a brother. And when you see them and you hear their story, you feel for them. But sometimes when you hear the other side, things become a bit clear. It doesn't mean that the sister or the brother is not hurt or not wrong. Of course they can be hurt. But you get a more clearer picture and you can be just. And like the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said to Ali radiallahu anhu, that will be true justice. That is how you apply true justice, by hearing both sides. Now, once again, Brother Sajid released a video. And in that video, even his thumbnail, you know, the way he's made himself out to be, look, I'll make it very clear. With his tone, the way he conducts himself, he might seem, and I'm not doubting him, but him having a certain tone on the way he talks of a soft tone doesn't make him right. And neither does it make a person, let's say for example, I'm a bit more, you know, raw, a bit more talkative, or have a certain demeanor. Neither does that make me wrong. I have never ever said that I cannot be corrected. I have refuted people publicly, Adam Saleh, Fuzi Chup, Dina Tokyo, her husband, and many other people they liked, because of the evils that they were calling towards, which was haram. But even before we did that, we messaged them in private for our own sincerity, because we didn't want to be opportunistic individuals who are like, let me find a slip of him, because he's a public figure, he's got many followers, and let me go and refute him. What we did is we tried to advise them in private to the best of our ability, because this is what should be done. But we was rejected. So then we had no choice but to go public after consulting with our teachers and weighing up the good and the bad, of course with our teachers, not by our own self. Now the question is why, or what makes anyone think, or Sajid think, that I will have an issue with being corrected? I have done this to people. Why would I be a hypocrite and be like, no, it cannot be done to me? When have I ever said that I cannot be corrected in public? When? Now, this is the second issue that I want to come to. With Sajid, this is not something personal he's done to me. It's not a personal issue. I have nothing personal against him. He has done nothing personal against me. The point is this, brothers and sisters. When I say his hate for us is greater than his love for Islam, I'm talking about the mafsada and the maslaha, meaning that he dislikes us so much to the level that he would jeopardize Islam looking bad, or the enemies of Islam using our bickering against us. There was a study done by Yakin Institute, and they found out that most people who leave Islam, they leave because of the bickering and in a fighting between the Muslims. That's the reason why I tried my best to avoid this. The messages I'm about to show you guys are the messages that I sent to Sajid. These are private messages, but I'm only showing my side and I'm not showing what he said because it's private. I'm only going to show you guys what I said. So, I say, this is just a general, like how my relationship with Sajid was before. I even used to refer to him as Ustad Sajid. Some people say to me, look, he's not really an Ustad. But I just say, look, out of respect, somebody who studied Medina, I showed him the utmost respect. What we need to understand is Sajid has not only attacked me, he's attacked SQ, which he done a video where he was very frustrated and even crying. Omar Suleiman, Mohammed Hijab, myself, Jake the metaphysician, Abdullah and the Lucy. Yeah? So it's not a personal matter pertaining to me. He has done this many, many times before. to multiple people. Now the question is this: is it fair, brothers and sisters, that he is continuously attacking people who are in the front line, who at least have some experience dealing with the enemies of Islam face to face? Is it fair for someone who doesn't have that experience to come and criticize? Now, let's put me to a side. He did this with hijab. What did hijab do? Hijab did an interview with a trans hijabi and trying to give him dawah to make him understand why he is wrong. They do a video attacking him. And I messaged him, and in this message you can see very clearly, I'll read it for you guys. And I said to him, this can easily be discussed and come to an agreement or disagreement, but we shouldn't take it to public as they see us all as one unit. As you can see, guys, my concern is what? Let's not fight. All I'm saying is, look, we have disagreement. Message privately, Aki. Message privately, we are open to advice. We are not saying message privately because we are infallible and don't you dare, you know, we are the royal family. You can criticize us. If we commit a haram, criticize us. What did I do in that debate or discussion? Something cringe? That's why you have to go public? So I said to him very clearly, when this comes to the issue of hijab, look, I'm telling him, please, let's discuss it privately. Again. And I said to him, yeah, he shouldn't have done that, but we can only give nasiha. But we should speak in private with these matters as the harm outweighs the good. Daniel Hakikaju seems a bit nitpicking on everything. I don't understand why. He does it to Mufti Meng, to Omar Suleiman, to a hijabi fully covered to take pictures, whatever. Okay, this was something Brother Daniel Hakikaju was doing. Okay, I could have come out and attacked Daniel Hakikaju, but no. Yeah, and then I said, yeah, or just let him be, because he's not causing greater harm. So I'm trying to reason with him to not attack hijab publicly.
Yeah, the thing is, look, I know that you may not know stuff. It wasn't needed, because the thing is, the issue wasn't that major. You know what I'm trying to say? It wasn't like that deep. If it was that deep, like the issue, I would understand, but it really wasn't that deep. And especially like with us, like, it's like, well, I know the brother, he can contact me. Why is he not contacting me? If he's not contacting me directly, what's his, like, in shaitan comes, you know, what's his, so is there a reason why he wants to, was he looking for a reason to go public? Is this because of the whole yakin thing? That's why he was saying things. I said, bro, don't say that, because that's accusations. You know, it just makes you look bad. So the thing is, this is where shaitan comes into play. So with these things, it wasn't that deep, you know. Yes, we might see it, trans hijab, you know, it doesn't make hijab wrong. You get what I'm trying to say? So definitely, he would have appreciated if you spoke to him and just talked about your concerns, and maybe just heard him out and say, you know what, this is where these guys are coming from. It's very important to communicate.
That's why, as his brothers, we must help him in this private, in his weakness. Trust me, I disagree with hijab, but also I have to cater for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This don't mean we tiptoe around him. If we see him do major mistakes, we will straighten him. But till we see that, we must help one another. Nasiha don't mean that the person must see it immediately. We gave Dawam and Nasir for 2 to 3 years privately until he totally lost it. And I said, these people who told you to do it either lack wisdom or using you to attack hijab. It wasn't really that deep. What do you think these messages are? In these messages, I am trying to tell Sajid, please do not attack publicly. Why? Because the fitna is going to cause. It makes it's distasteful. The youth that are watching us, it's distasteful for them. They don't want to see us bickering. They watch both of our content. So I was trying my best to mitigate the circumstances, but no. The point I'm trying to say, brothers and sisters, is that I tried my best privately. And with those audio notes that you heard, I'm trying my best to tell him, and this is pertaining to hijab. Now, after this, I was told to be wary about Sajid. But I didn't listen. I gave the benefit of doubt. I asked Sheikh Uthman to reconcile. I said, let's put things to a side. For the sake of Allah, we don't want this internal conflict. Let's reconcile. Sheikh Uthman said something to me, which I can't really say it here. It's in a manner. And I was shocked. I was like, if it's for the sake of Allah, why do you not want to reconcile? What is stopping you from reconciling? He outright rejected it. No problem, I left it. Sajid contacts me and I left it. I do not want to talk and engage with him. I genuinely believe, Uqsam Billah, that he backstabbed me. And many other du'at, he did. I believe that. I will go to Yawm Al-Qiyamah in front of Allah with this claim. I believe this. And then he messages me 4 weeks ago, a month ago, like I'm his friend, after, like, as if he has done nothing, like the entitlement. And I'm like, why are you messaging me? Don't talk to me. I don't want to talk to you. Oh, my knowledge North wants to talk to you. I don't want to talk to you, bro. Leave me alone. He messages me a month ago, trying to provoke me. And the guy, he's even using words like, oh, you mentally not well. This is a Sajid with the soft tone, nice manners. When I'm bringing evidence to the table, he starts saying, oh, do you have mental issues to me? When I ask him simple questions about enjoying good and forbidden principles, like I read from Ibn Taymiyyah, totally ignores me. No answer. No answer. And I went to Fareed. And this is, look, Fareed gave me the permission. And I want to show instead of say it, because word for word, I do not want to misconstrue it. Fareed, what was the agreement 2 weeks ago? That I will come off Twitter and I want reconciliation. For the sake of Allah again, let's just reconcile.
Also, what's happening with Sajid? Is he reluctant? I think the best thing is that we go on a Zoom call, video call, me, you and him. Yeah, and we talk about it. I have no problem. But you let me know. It seems like he's reluctant.
What does he do? Fareed comes to me and says, you guys can read it for yourself, I can't see it in front of me, but something along the lines of, bro, in this one, on this one, I can't do nothing. Is that coming from me? I wanted me and Sajid on a Zoom meeting, let's talk it out. Let's talk it out. Let me tell you why I believe you backstabbed us. And you can tell me why you believe you didn't. Let's talk and come to a common ground, and for the sake of Allah, leave it. He outright rejects reconciliation and then says what he did was for the sake of Allah. If it's for the sake of Allah, for Islam to flourish, yeah? Why would you not want reconciliation? This is the question that needs to be asked. It's very, very clear, guys. Very, very clear. And I hope he doesn't have a go at Fareed for this and starts having an issue with him because of me showing these messages. You guys can see from my messages, guys, and the audio notes that I played, yeah? That I wanted nothing but to avert, to stop this fitna from going public. I tried my best with hijab. And when I saw him doing the same with me and then Abdullah Andalusi, then I'm so sorry. He is a serial, I'm so sorry. He seems like a serial backstepper. I will only apologize for the people who have come to witness this. It's as simple as that. Brothers and sisters, I come from a revert. I'm a revert. Okay, I came to Islam. My family is very, very hostile to Islam. A lot of my family members are actually enemies of Islam. Yeah, they outright insult Allah and His Messenger. Yeah? So the thing is, when I first came to Islam, the brotherhood was something that also caught my attention. Yes? You need to understand, when I am dealing with enemies of Islam outside, or we are, or me personally, I'm talking about myself, we already deal with it in our houses. Okay, when I'm in our houses, like family, etc., I already deal with it. A reverse life is not really that good. Okay, because you're dealing with this, hearing it in the house. You go and do dawah, you hear it from there. You go speak in school and you hear people insulting the Messenger of Allah. Do you know how much control it requires for us to, you know, hold ourselves back when that is happening? And then we have people that we see as brothers. Muhammad Hijab, Fareed, Hashim, Mansur, and many other people that we see are dear to us as brothers that we trust and we turn to. The point is this, Sajid was another person that I genuinely saw him as that. If Fareed done a video just like what Sajid done, I would have been as hurt, or Mansur, or Hamza Zorsis, or Adnan Rashid, whoever that may be. The reason these brothers all came to me in private and not public shows us something. One of these, well, shall I say, either Sajid or 10 plus members who advise me privately lack hikmah. I'm going to go with Sajid that lacks hikmah, not these brothers, because they could have gone and do that in public. Sajid is claiming that these people are scared of me. I asked Fareed that very question. I said, bro, why did you not refute me in public? Are you scared of me? And he sent a emoji laughing. And I don't blame him. It is a laughing matter. The reason these brothers didn't come publicly is, number one, there was no shubahat, number one, thrown out there like that. I couldn't answer. And all I did was something cringe. Okay, we are dealing with an enemy of Islam. And brothers and sisters, just imagine for a second, put yourself in my shoe. You have a friend that you talk to. You're calm, like you talk to, like it's a friend, your brother. They say blood is thicker than water. We say iman is thicker than blood, brothers and sisters. You have a Muslim brother that you talk to. He knows you, he has your number. You get into some kind of a dispute with an enemy of Islam. He not only come and attacks you, yeah, let's suppose you did something wrong, but it was genuinely for the sake of Allah, your anger towards that enemy of Islam, that you did something. Let's suppose it was a mistake. Not only that, guys, They defend this guy who rips the Quran, eats the Quran, who laughs at the death of pilgrims. They defend his honor and say that Ali Dawah accused this man, Apos, of indirectly inciting violence against Muslims. Can you imagine? You're in the front line, fighting the enemies of Islam. Just imagine a war zone, you're fighting. And there are arrows being thrown and you're looking back and thinking, which enemy threw that? Was it like, who? Is it which enemy of Islam? And then you realize the arrows that are being thrown from your own camp. This is the point I'm trying to make, guys. Anybody in my shoes would feel betrayed and feel like they've been backstabbed. Because I trusted these individuals, I gave them my number, I am open to Nasir. But instead of doing that, he spends no time wasting at all and does a video the very next day. This is reason why, brothers and sisters, I don't want any other Duat getting attacked. Abdullah Andalusi was in the front line in a TV station with two, three people who are trying to grill him and one guy insulting him. And Sajid does a video attacking him. Oh, why did you not condemn it? Why does he have to condemn it? Now, since that's out of the way, what I want to do is, as you guys know, the accusation is very simple. That I myself, Ali Dawah, have an issue with being publicly corrected. So, just put this in the context. So what that means is, that I myself believe that nobody can correct me. I have no mistakes. I have no flaws. I have no sins. That I am the perfect being. I am the greatest da'i or whatever you want to call me out there, and nobody can correct me. Please, I request anybody to find a single statement or a single way I have ever conducted myself that I have said, you are not allowed to criticize me. Those who know me, know me. I'm going to go to now Ibn Taymiyyah. And we're going to learn from Ibn Taymiyyah, when it comes to enjoining good and forbidden evil, what are the things that is required in order for it to be executed properly? Because Ibn Taymiyyah talks about this. One thing that I was really surprised is that Sajid is somebody who studied at Medina University. And when I asked him about this, I asked him about the conditions of enjoining good and forbidden evil, he didn't want to answer. Rather, he would go down the road of actually questioning my psychological well-being, mental well-being. I mean, he did this with hijab as well, that my psychological well-being was in question. When I would ask simple questions, when I would bring evidence to certain matters that he criticized me of, for some reason he would always avoid it and always criticize me that for some reason I don't know and he knows. So let's go to Ibn Taymiyyah. Let's see what Ibn Taymiyyah says that we should have, what conditions we should have when it comes to enjoying good and forbidding evil. So then we can have a clearer picture that does the condition that everyone that does something public in the public scene, does that mean they need to be refuted in public? So Ibn Taymiyyah says, let your enjoyment of good be good and let your forbidding of bad be bad. Lakhsh al-Bani said, the truth is sometimes heavy for some people to accept. Don't make it harder with your bad adab and akhlaq. If I am going to go and stop somebody from drinking alcohol, if I see somebody drinking alcohol, if I know me going there, that that individual will take a knife and try to stab me or a few other people, it is best that you don't do that action, because the harms outweigh the good. So the action that you're going to do of enjoining good and forbidding the evil will become impermissible for you. And here's what Ibn Taymiyyah says. Enjoining right and forbidding wrong being one of the greatest obligations or commendable acts in Islam, it is essential that the benefits therein outweigh its negative consequences. This is the general spirit of the messages of the prophets and the revealed books. And Allah does not like chaos and corruption. Thus, whenever the adverse effects, the mafsada, of any of the enjoining or forbidding are greater than its benefits, the maslaha, it is no longer part of what Allah has enjoined upon us, even if it be a case of neglecting obligations or committing the forbidden. Look, listen carefully. Ibn Taymiyyah is saying, even if it is a case of neglecting obligations or committing the forbidden, this is because it is upon the believer to fear Allah in relation to his slaves, and the guidance is not his responsibility. This is part of the meaning of the verse which Allah says, O you who believe, yourselves are your responsibility. Those who go astray will not harm you when you stick to guidance. Now, the second group desires to enjoin and forbid the people with their tongues and their hands absolutely and all situations without sufficient knowledge of the Sharia, nor forbearance, nor patience, nor regard for that which is beneficial and that which has more harm than benefit, and that which is possible and that which is not possible. Then he goes on to say, this group then enjoins and forbids believing that they are in obedience to Allah Ta'ala when in reality they are the transgressors of his boundaries. In this way, many of the deviants and misguided groups consider themselves to be enjoiners of right and forbidders of wrong, such as the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila and the Rafida Shia and others who erred in understanding that which Allah gave them in terms of enjoining right and forbidding wrong, and fighting jihad and other issues. The corruption caused by this kind of enjoining and forbidding is much greater than any good that which may result. Now we'll end on this note. Somebody came and approached Sajid, and I saw this video of a Christian. And Sajid decides to just ignore him and walk away. And I don't blame him. He doesn't have experience on face-to-face da'wah. It's not blameworthy. Yeah, or confrontational. That's fine and understandable. Nobody can blame you for that. It's understandable. Your da'wah style is different. But the fact that you don't have that experience and that Christian, when he approaches you, you just totally, I would have gotten a dialogue with him. You know? Because we are in the front lines fighting these enemies of Islam intellectually. And then you have no experience, not blameworthy, but you come and attack Duat, left, right, center, SQ, Jake, Hijab, me, Abdullah and Lucy. What is your problem? What do you want from us? And you know what's really funny? I saw Shamsi's video recently that was done back then, and I watched it. And wallahi, I was shocked. Shamsi at least started the video, which you guys can see for yourself.
This video, it's about the debate that occurred between this evil, disrespectful liar, apostate liar, and Ali Da'wah, our brother Ali Da'wah. May Allah guide us and guide him.
By referring to me as his brother, he's our brother, even though he believed that it was embarrassing what I did, no problem. But at least he started with Ali is our brother, okay? And then he starts insulting Apos. I was like, alhamdulillah, at least you have justice that you insult this filthy scum. And at least you call me your brother. I was like, wow. Like, it meant so much to me. And me and Shamsi have an issue going back 2-3 years, which, again, it pertains to him attacking other people. The same thing with Dawah Man. I have no personal problem with these people. And it is a misinformation. I'm not going to say he lied, Sajid. It's misinforming that I have an issue with being publicly corrected. This is a big, big misinformation. I'm not going to say it's a lie, because I don't believe he's a liar. Yeah? It's misinformation. I have never said that. I am open to correction from sincere people. But to go and defend Apos and then write a letter to David Wood, Sajid and Knowledge North, and refer to David Wood as Dr. David Wood, and then the same people call me imbecile and insult me, when Allah says in the Quran, be soft towards the believers and harsh towards the disbelievers, where's your adab and akhlaq? This is the reason why it hurt me so much. Because I did not expect that from Sajid. Because he had my number, he could have contacted me. And that's all I have to say, guys. And I apologize for those who witnessed this. But just so you guys know, I did not want this to happen. Brothers and sisters, that's all I have to say, inshallah. Hope this has cleared the matter for once and for all, inshallah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide him and guide myself, inshallah. And allow us to be amongst those who are soft towards the believers and harsh towards the enemies of Islam, rather than vice versa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
IslamNet is raising funds to establish a masjid and community center in Norway, and they urgently need your support. This donation will be a sadaqah jariyah for you, because every person that comes a step closer to Allah through your donation, you will inshallah be reaping the reward. Click the link and donate what you can.